Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy, good sir.
What's happening?
Just sports and
what's up on these
sports and on our
you remember that
are you doing a
what's up on these
born in East LA
yeah
right?
Cheech and Chong
what's up on these
and then there was who is it JJ
I don't think Chong was in that one. I think that was just Cheech.
Oh really?
Yeah, born in East LA I think was just Cheech.
Are those guys still doing bits?
They were, and then they broke up and then they're back. I want to say a number of years ago, they came in here when they were like on the reunion tour. Remember?
Oh, I remember.
So I think it was one of those they left and then like.
Which one's Cheech? Which one's Chong?
Cheech is the smaller.
Okay. Chong?
Tommy Chong is the taller guy.
Yeah. Chong was really. I remember we had him in here and Cheech was fun.
Yeah.
The Chonger, he was like. He was super serious.
Yeah.
And that was back in the day. Like we've been on so damn long.
This was
before marijuana was legal.
This was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember he was a big, you know, obviously the big marijuana advocates.
Yeah.
He just like, he wasn't.
No, he was.
He was super normal.
He had an agenda. Like, it's all he wanted to talk about was the legalization of weed, but not in a funny way.
Meanwhile, Cheech was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if any of our listeners remember that, but we had Cheech and Chong in here.
Couldn't have been any nicer.
I love Cheech and Chong, man. Yeah. Back in the day. No. Do you ever listen to Cheech and Chong back in the day?
Every now and then, like, there's a comedy station I'll listen to, and some of their old bits come across there.
Good stuff.
But, you know, there are also some old, like, Cosby bits that come on, and that always makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Because, like, they still
play
him.
Yeah, because he's a rapist?
Well, yeah, he raped.
Is that what you're saying?
You know, 100 women. And I used to love, when I was little, my dad used to play comedy albums. My dad would play old Cheech and Chong albums and Steve Martin and Bill Cosby and like, all of them. I remember, like, Eddie Murphy he had. And so, like, there's a channel out there that you can listen to that, and they play some of those old ones. But every time like Bill Cosby comes on, there's a little bit like,
why would they play Bill Cosby?
I don't know.
They should pull him.
That's kind of my thing. I'm like, why is that still going on? Now I haven't listened to it in a while, but this was within the last 6 months that I've heard like the old Chicken Heart bit, like Bill Cosby, like doing Fat Albert stuff. And I'm like, that's a little odd.
Bill Cosby was really funny back in the day. He really was.
Probably time. Well, OJ ran real well too, but let's just shove that aside.
Well, I'll watch an OJ highlight. I can appreciate his greatness as a running back, even though he's a murderer. But Cosby, I think the thing with Cosby is he's always been clean. He's been a clean comic.
Yeah.
And I think for a station like that, I mean, I don't know. Can they play cuss words and stuff?
Yeah, they can.
Okay, so I'm guessing if they're looking for only clean comedic content, I mean, Bill Cosby's your go-to because I don't know
many
comedians that are that clean.
No, it was not a dirty other than the old rape thing. But that was away from the comedy.
You mentioned Seinfeld. Makes me think of Larry David. Did you see the latest Curb?
No, I've got it on DVR and I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, that show is on an 11 this year.
So if you haven't been paying attention, he's got a death sentence on him by the Ayatollah.
So good.
And he's in hiding. And it's it's fantastic. I have not gotten to the last Sunday's episode.
This last one is the best one yet.
Is it really?
Of the first, I think this is the third of
this
the new
is the
series.
Third, this is the third episode.
It's so good. And they've just cut out all fluff. Like it is,
it's
one bit after another. Yeah. It's just, they just pile on. It's so good.
My daughter has started watching it with me, my oldest one. And so now she's going back and watching some of the older ones. And it warms my heart to introduce her to the greatness that is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Can you beep at a cop?
I haven't seen that
one. Have you ever? Well, that's the new one.
That's the new
one? They talk about, you know, the differences between like laying on the horn because you're pissed or like beep. Just a polite
and that's the question.
Wake up. And he beeps at a cop. Yeah, it's one of the Wayans brothers.
I don't think you can beep at a cop.
Well, that's kind of what they're... I've never thought about that.
I don't know if you ever do this, but when a cop comes around, like I just, even though I've done nothing illegal, like anytime there's a cop around and you see one and you're like, you straighten up and it's like 10 and 2 and I just try to get away from the presence of the officer.
You go exactly the speed limit.
Yes.
Like you look at the dial the entire time.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's annoying for a cop.
See, I don't.
I just want to be away from him at all times. I'll turn down a road just to veer off from his presence. I don't want him anywhere around me.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I just feel like,
very
uncomfortable. I check my speed. I'm like, whoa.
yeah, what do you got there?
Might want to rein it in a little bit, but I don't know. If I'm not doing anything wrong.
You feel all right?
Yeah.
You don't do the instant, am I doing right now?
Oh, yeah. You do a checklist.
I start looking around for things that I'm doing that it's going to get me pulled over.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Put the phone away.
Yeah.
Stop sending that email.
Yeah, you slide the seatbelt on a little bit or you sit.
I always have my belt on.
It's very detailed.
Get it. But Larry comes up behind a cop and the cop, you know how people, it's kind of annoying when like you're the second car and the first car, when the light turns green.
Yeah, it's not going.
Delays.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like when you're the first in line, you're obligated to really pay attention. And when that thing turns green, you get her going.
You got to go. It's a NASCAR
race. Setting the tone for everybody behind you.
100%.
And so the cop's asleep at the wheel or something and just doing something else. And he beeps at the cop. So he gives him a ticket.
For beeping at him?
Yeah. And so the debate is, can you beep at a cop? And the cop said, well, I don't care that you're a cop. He goes, go. The light was green. It's like, I was doing official police business. Which we do kind of assume anytime you see a cop, like you don't mess with them.
Yeah, he's doing
because
something.
They're surely they're busy, but I don't think they are a lot of the time.
No. I told you this was my most bitter cop story is I got a ticket in my driveway once. It was like 1 a.m. I live in a cul-de-sac. There's 2 other homes in the entire cul-de-sac. And I got busted. There was a stop sign. I rolled through the stop sign into my cul-de-sac. At 1 a.m, and I got a ticket in my driveway, and I was livid. And my question that I have is, what the F was the cop doing in my cul-de-sac at 1 a.m? Don't tell me you were on official police business. You were either A, taking a nap, or B, doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. And I think I interrupted you. You got pissed, and you wrote me a ticket.
He got a call. He probably got a call to monitor the neighborhood.
And so you just sit in a cul-de-sac with 3 homes at 1 a.m.? What sort of danger is lurking around the corner at 15th Circle in the center?
If one of the olds called.
Apparently the scofflaw that is me. And then he had the nerve to drop this one on me. You could have killed a kid. What? There's only one kid that lives in this neighborhood, and it's my kid. And it's 1 a.m. on a Tuesday. Pretty sure she's in bed.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than the bogus ticket.
Yes.
I've had a few of those.
It's horse bleep.
And you can't really say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. But you, like nobody has the balls to really. It's like Larry David was talking back to the cop, but we don't do that, right? Like you don't. I remember I did once. I was pissed, and the guy ended up threatening me.
Ooh.
Yeah, and of course you can't. No. Like you're not gonna win that.
No.
So I just had to shut up and bite my tongue. But
yes,
like this guy was an a-hole, and I was completely in the right. But whatever.
See, most
and I called and complained. Deaf ears.
No, you don't get a damn
thing.
They
don't care.
Most of the time, like if you've done something, I'm like, you got me. It's like, yeah, it's. I did that. But that cul-de-sac one, that one really peeled the old cheese. I was pissed about
so
that
you,
one.
So you can or cannot politely beep at a cop?
No,
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can, especially if you get Captain like Race O'Bannon that I had,
right.
Like where like the pants are tucked into the military boots and. You know, the head, like the, like he looks like he's ready to invade Poland. His uniform's all sparkly.
I know.
Who was that guy? And he was questioning me on where I was going. I'm going home. And I didn't have shoes on. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I was playing basketball. You're not wearing any shoes. Yeah, they're in the back seat right there. Like, you can look back there. I took them off after playing. Like, everything was like a big, like, he finally caught, like, the, like, I was some sort of drug mule in the middle of the center, like, driving to a, you know, cul-de-sac in the middle of the night. That cop annoys me. Most cops that I've dealt with are pretty decent fellows, but But every now and then you get that guy, you get Captain America, and you're like, dude, tone it down, all right? No one's committed any major felonies here. Relax.
The other bit that's great on the new Curb is the restaurant manager who is who's vague. So their meal gets delayed, and the restaurant manager comes over, and he's great with the like being really polite, but not saying anything. Like he won't answer any questions. And they're like, "Yes, I'm so sorry. Your dinner's delayed. There's been a disturbance in the kitchen." And Larry's like, "Well, what does that mean? What happened?" So he goes the whole show trying to figure out what the hell happened.
It's a great
show. It's just dynamite. It is on.
I need to watch that tonight.
Episode 3 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. They've never been better.
I'm on board.
I've never watched the show like in full. I've seen episodes here and there. I saw one. I don't know what season it was, where he's sitting at a table next to a guy who's on a Bluetooth, and he starts talking to himself loudly with nobody at his table, and the guy goes, "Hey, buddy, I'm on the phone." And he goes, "I'm talking," and it's like just this
it's
like
just great.
seven-minute argument of like them talking louder.
It goes off of the Seinfeld bit where it's like little things that we all kind of observe.
And Larry basically calls people out. He has no filter, and so when he sees injustice in the world, whether that's a loud talker at a restaurant or beeping at a cop, Larry confronts these things head on, it's fantastic.
He asks the restaurant manager, he goes, all right. You want to tell me what's going on back there? What color's your tie? And the guy goes, I can say this. I am indeed wearing a necktie.
It still won't answer.
So then it happens
question.
Again, and he's with other people, and the restaurant manager comes over. I'm sorry, there's been a disturbance in the kitchen. And the lady goes, "Well, what's the disturbance?" Larry goes, "He's not going to tell you." It's so good, dude. All that right. Show is on point. Okay, now what do we have to do today? Well, we have to interview the Oregon State coach.
Yes, Corey Hall.
Yes.
I think you still have a hard time remembering his name.
Why would you say that?
Because you always refer to him as the Oregon State coach. And then when you say Corey Hall, you Ron Burgundy a little bit, you put a question mark at the end.
Not at all.
Corey Hall?
I know his name. The AD's name is Scott Barnes.
Yes.
And that guy's going to be on with us on Friday.
Yeah. So coach today.
How about that?
Whatever his name is.
Corey Hall.
See, you about said Corey Burns. And then the AD on Friday.
Yeah.
If you can remember.
So we have to do that. We have no producer today because the Yankees are right in the middle of a pivotal game 5 with the Astros right now. So Mike is not paying attention to us at all.
No,
I am.
No, you're not.
No,
I came in the second inning and Mike was sitting at the desk watching it. And it was 1-0, I think, at that point.
No, it was still nothing.
It was still nothing. Yeah. And Mike's left leg was just. It was shaking. Like he wasn't moving in the chair except for like a tremor in his leg.
When I get a little stressed, I like to shake my leg.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Like you got like a twitch going on there?
No, a twitch. I just like to bounce. I just like to get the energy out somewhere.
Yeah, it's an energy thing. I nervous energy. I do that all the time.
You twitch the leg?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
I'm very twitchy.
Mike was bouncing. I was like, jeez.
Well, his team's in the ALCS. It's a big game. They're up 2-0 in the third inning.
Yeah, and Keuchel, I saw a little a stat. They said minimum 4 starts in the postseason. Dallas Keuchel has the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball history.
Maybe not anymore.
Well, probably not anymore.
Well, who's the other guy? Mike has a hot.
It was Blue Moon Odom.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, old Blue Moon Odom.
Old Blue Moon. Back in the day, I guarantee Blue Moon didn't pitch before 1930. That's got 1904 written all over it. But Keiko's got, well, doesn't anymore, but he had a 0.70 ERA, which was the lowest in postseason history with minimum 4 starts. And they've got two of them off of him here in the third inning.
Good series.
Great series.
It's a good series, man.
Yankees take this and,
all right.
Go up 3-2 after being down 0-2.
We have a lot of football to discuss. We'll interview Corey Hall of the Beavers at 3:30. Up next, we will discuss last night in sports. 3:15 on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Apparently, Blue Moon Odom. Blue Moon Odom.
Who?
Blue Moon Odom.
Blue Moon.
Moon River. Blue Moon Odom, pitcher and pinch runner.
Really?
That's what it says here.
So he doesn't hit, he just pitches and runs?
Yeah, he played in the 60s and 70s with the old Kansas City A's.
You're
and
right
then,
the hell out of town.
Yeah, on to Oakland. It sounds like a 1920s name. But.
Yeah, I miss nicknames like that. You know, with like Oil Can Boyd, we don't get many Blue Moons anymore.
So he pitched with Vita Blue. So you had Blue Moon Odom and Vita Blue.
See, wouldn't baseball be better if we went back to nicknames like this?
Yeah, somebody's saying that Charlie Finley, you know, the old crazy guy for the A's, he loved nicknames. And he tried to pay Vita Blue to change his middle name to True. Vita True Blue. Blue Moon Odom and Vita True Blue.
That would have been fantastic.
You're damn right that would have been fantastic.
What was Blue Moon's real name?
It doesn't say on here.
I'm assuming it's not Blue Moon.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking at Baseball Reference. Maybe I'll go to Wiki. Wiki does a good job of that.
Is there a Wiki page on old Blue Moon?
Here's our poll question today, folks. It is courtesy, as always, of our fine friends at Freshy.
Yes.
Freshy. Oh, there is a... Yeah, his name was Johnny Lee.
Johnny Lee?
Johnny Lee Blue Moon Odom.
It's a mouthful right there.
And he is still alive. Yeah. He's 72.
Wow, that's... I'm gonna say that's a bit of an upset. I would have, if you would have just asked me off the top of the show, Blue Moon, dead or alive, I would have gone dead many, many moon ago.
And he was arrested twice in 1985, one for selling cocaine to a coworker. And then during the trial, he was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon because he held his wife at gunpoint with a shotgun.
Oh, boy.
And he held police at bay for 6 hours.
Blue Moon falling on hard times, huh?
Well, he was a bit of a drinker.
Okay. Well, and so they apparently threw him, like some powder as well.
They threw him into alcohol rehab, and then he did another 55 days in jail.
Is he doing okay now?
However, in brighter news, he is in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, I would like to think that a little cocaine and booze doesn't keep you out of the Hall of Fame, although that whole kidnapping thing, that may.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's doing okay.
It was the olden days. We looked the other way at that sort of thing.
Clean and sober. Okay. Freshy, did I read the tagline yet?
No, you have not.
Freshy offers delicious meals from quality ingredients to energize people on the go. FreshyDoubleI.com. 1080thefan.com is where our poll question resides. That'd be our website. Today we're asking you, in honor of the Blazers season opening tonight.
The Blazers opening night. Opening night technically yesterday.
Yeah, but I'm saying the Blazers tonight. Yes. No one cares about yesterday. It's the Blazers.
Well, Gordon Hayward cares about it.
Go Zers. Oh, true. He wants a do-over, doesn't he?
I think he would like a no counties.
Where do you expect the Blazers to finish in the West? Top 4 seed, number 5 seed, number 6 to 8 seed, or won't make the playoffs? And boy, I tell you what, with the exception of maybe top 4 seed, which seems unrealistic,
yeah,
those other three, you know, you hear all across the board, you listen to the, you know, to different experts, they're all over the map on where the Blazers could finish this year. It's kind of one of those years.
Yeah, I'd probably say I think 5 or 6.
Well, no, you okay. So what? You can vote for number 5, mm-hmm. the number 5 seed, or you can vote for number 6 through 8. Okay?
I'll say 6 through 8 then. Because I think that you're, I think you've got a real good shot to be a lot better than people expected. The West is going to be tough. But my main thing is, and it's the same thing we just got done talking about with Boston, right? These injuries. You just don't have, I don't think you have the depth to withstand any sort of injury. And so, you know, we all sit here and say that Nurk makes all the difference in the world, and that's great. But Nurk hasn't finished a season before. And I get that he's in good shape. But being in good shape doesn't necessarily mean that something bad can't happen to you. So I think if Nurk goes down, I think you go from a 5 seed to a team that's fighting to make the playoffs again. So that's just a lot to put on the health of a guy that hasn't been healthy in his young career.
Hey, one thing I'm going to do, and I promise to do this.
Yeah.
After every game, you come to this show, you're going to hear the Blazers defensive rating update. Every show. Yep.
This is gonna follow Joel Prisbilla's stat line of the night.
Damn right. And you know, maybe if he's probably not paying attention because he's watching the Yankees, but maybe Mike can make a fun little open and we can do this every game because I'm telling you, they have enough offense and they just have to stay healthy. They do those two things, they're gonna be right there. But they've got to get better defensively. They keep saying that. Now we'll see if they actually, you know, do it. And so the way we're going to follow if they're actually doing it is we are going to follow after every single game their defensive efficiency rating. I'm serious. I did this last year, but I did it just kind of in my own homework.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to watch it
kind of
fluctuate. Yeah, because they're really inconsistent defensively. So what we want is we want them consistently in the top 15, and you want to see them creeping toward top 10. If they can do that, you know, they've got a shot.
But I've seen a lot of people that are going through this first month and a half of the season, and who knows exactly how it's going to play out because, you know, a team that you think, we thought Minnesota was going to be pretty good last year, New Orleans, and they ended up not being that. So it's tough just to look at it on paper. But if you look at the Blazers' schedule, No, there's some hope that you can get off to a nice start.
No question.
I mean, I've seen everything, you know, maybe get off to a nice 12-4 start. I've seen some, you know, look at the first, you know, 20 games and say 15-5 is realistic. There's a lot of winnable games and a lot of games at home that you can get off to a hot start if you come out of the gates and you play hard. And we've even said this over the years that at the start of the season, you can sneak up on a lot of teams. What did we hear from both Cleveland and Golden State last night? Did you listen to any of like the post-game comments at all or read any of the clips?
I didn't. I turned the game off. I thought that
you thought it was over, right?
Yes, I thought it was over. Yeah. I got to get in the habit of not caring about the first three quarters. Just make sure you're there for the fourth quarter. That's the NBA, right? Yeah, and I was an idiot last night, and I just was like, oh, this game's over. I turned it off.
I was flipping around kind of back and forth, and I did see in the first half that the Rockets were like plus 13 without Chris Paul on the floor. Like, they were worse with Chris Paul.
Well, so I did see him before he went down.
It's going to take a while.
That guy looked like, somebody on Twitter said it, that he looks like Adrian Peterson with the Saints.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just not a good fit.
No.
So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, they were better, and then he left the game. He had the sore knee, and they ended up pulling it out. But I was listening to both some of the presser stuff. I was listening to SportsCenter, and they were going live to the press conferences for both Houston and Golden State. And then I listened to a little bit of the Cavalier stuff right afterwards, LeBron in his ripped jersey, which I don't think is necessarily a great look for Nike. Did you see that LeBron ripped his jersey right down the back? It was Nike's. It was the first game ever with Nike as the uniform.
He's Hulk.
And it split like right in between the two and the three, right up the middle, like ripped his jersey apart.
It's a bad omen.
Yeah, maybe.
He's all ripped.
Maybe need to stitch that up a little bit. But all four teams talked about conditioning.
Literally.
And just how out of shape they were.
Well, did you see what LeBron said?
Yeah, he said he was gassed, that he was fat, and said that he was.
He didn't look. Yeah, I mean, but it's, you know, it's the first game.
Yeah.
And you could tell by watching them. But LeBron made a point to tell the reporters that even though he played 41 minutes, he went in there and he was on the stair stepper after the game because he wasn't happy with his conditioning.
Yeah, he said he talked about it, and Boston talked about it. Golden State, that was Steve Kerr's message. He was just like, we're out of shape. My point is that if you come out at the start of the year and you play hard and you just try, you don't lollygag your way through the first month of the season, you can surprise a lot of teams just off of effort, because for a lot of these teams, the season doesn't start at, you know, Christmas or January, people start paying attention to it.
No, that's right. And the Blazers have done that a couple times.
Yeah, you have some hot starts
over the last couple years. Hard. And you mentioned their schedule. You're right. Boy, it doesn't, you know, the two best teams they play all the way through until December 5th are Oklahoma City, and they play Toronto.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a really good schedule for them. And that's like, you're looking at, all the way to December 5th, you're looking at 20 to 25 games. Yeah. So it's go time. Go time.
Make up some ground here. Come on.
But we'll keep you updated on their defensive ranking. We'll hold their feet to the fire on that, because they said that last year and they just weren't.
No.
And they just weren't that good.
But
they
got
better
Nurkic.
With Nurkic, but still, we'll see how that goes. Okay. So that's our poll question, 1080thefan.com. Let's get back into last night. Poor Gordon Hayward.
Ooh, that thing was. I thought you were going to say poor Cubbies, but.
Well, them too. I want to talk about them.
How bad did they look?
Well, I think the Dodgers look good.
Yeah, but to me last night, the Cubs looked worse than the Dodgers did look good.
So we'll get into it next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon State coach Corey Hall here in a moment. That was really something against Colorado, even though they lost. Surprised a lot of people.
By far their best effort of the season.
No question. A couple of observations from last night. Did you get to watch much of Cleveland-Boston?
No. I mean, it was going on while we were here, and then I got home, and to be honest with you, I was watching mostly Cubs and Dodgers and kind of flipping around.
Yeah, I was too, but that game came down to the wire too.
Yeah.
After the Cavs had it clearly in control.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those things that I saw that they were up, I think, when I flipped over, they were up by 17, and then I kind of went away from it, and then you go back and I don't know. It's just it's hard for me to get into opening day for basketball when I've got postseason baseball on. It's much more compelling to me watching Cubs and Dodgers.
I hear you, but as was evident last night, they reminded us yet again that you just need to check when the fourth quarter's on. You need to check back because you never know. Both those games came down to last second shots.
And Durant hit the game winner. It just, you know, it was a what millimeter too late.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to say about Boston, from the little amount of that game that I watched, everybody's talking about, obviously, Gordon Hayward. I mean, that sucks. And then, of course, Kyrie Irving's big story there. But holy crap, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Jaylen Brown looked great.
Well, so did Tatum. Like Boston is in fine shape with those two young guys because, you know, this whole league, including the Blazers, is just chasing their tail trying to keep up with Golden State, right? Like you take a bunch of draft picks, you try to do the best you can, but nobody's beaten those guys, and it may be a while, right? Boston is in such good shape because not only are they good right now, but you look at those two guys and go, God, down the road, they could be even better if those guys develop because they're really good.
Well, people forget that Jaylen Brown was a top six pick? I mean, he's a lottery pick, and then they were high on Tatum, and Marcus Smart isn't a bad player either. He's one of the better defensive guards in the NBA, and Boston has more draft picks still coming.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, though, is like, the only way to really even jump up and challenge the Warriors is to get that guy in the draft. Yes. The guy that is just the next big star, superstar. And I'm talking big time player. And right now it looks like Boston has a beat on a couple of guys that may develop into that. The Blazers don't, right?
No.
I mean, you're hoping Zach Collins turns into like a rotational player, a nice player for you, but I mean, you got to compete with Golden State for the next, seems like, 5 years. Man, you got to be special and get some special young talent. Watching Boston, again, just one game. I didn't watch the whole game. But what I saw those guys is just like they jump off the page. Like nobody talks about Boston's youth because it's Kyrie Irving and, oh, Hayward got hurt. He stole the headlines. But, God dang, those guys are good.
Well, and you look at Golden State and I think it's something to remember is that's homegrown. I mean, I get that obviously Kevin Durant was the cherry on top, but they won a title before Kevin Durant. But that's homegrown. One of the reasons why they've been able to keep this thing going is that they control all those guys, Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They have drafted well, and they've put this team together, and then they've been good in free agency by going out and landing like an Andre Iguodala and putting together a very good bench. How about freaking Nick Young last night, right? Who no one gives a damn. And Nick Young comes off the bench for him. And watch him now become the sixth man of the year with Golden State.
He had, how many did he have?
23-ish last night.
You know what I should have done, Jason?
Been an NBA player that can shoot the three?
Yeah, you're on the right track. Just been a guy who can stand outside and shoot.
Yeah.
And make, I don't know, 45%.
You do that and you've got yourself a 10-year career in the NBA and you're going to be very, very wealthy.
You don't have to do anything else.
No.
See Swaggy P.
Stand out there, get a stupid nickname and a dumb haircut and knock down threes. And people are saying that Jaylen Brown was the second pick in the NBA draft.
I don't remember.
I knew he was high.
Tatum and Brown. Man, Boston. Whew. And you're right, they have more picks coming.
Yeah, and Hayward will be back. I mean, his career isn't going to be over.
Well, they're saying that he could be back. You know, it's a weird deal because he just signed with them.
Yeah.
And he plays 5 minutes and he breaks his leg, which was really nasty. But they're saying that he could be back for the playoffs.
Well, it's weird that, and again, it's how bad this is, but they said that the main thing that looked so bad was a dislocated ankle. And that the break is not like a Theismann sort of break. I mean, it looked horrific, and there is a fracture in his leg, but it does seem to be that they're trying to put a positive spin on this, and they're not painting this as some sort of doom and gloom thing.
But I just think it's weird that if that happens, he's not going to play the entire – he signs with him, doesn't even play in the regular season, and then he can come back and slide right in the postseason?
Who knows? I mean, that's
it'd be weird.
So far off. Let's just hope that the leg ends up healing. No one wants to see that, but when you think about whether the first one that came to mind was Sean Livingston and then the Paul George injuries that looked like that. And at least from the early indications, it's not that kind of injury. This isn't one of those Teddy Bridgewater, you know, you'll be gone for 2 years.
Have you seen like some of the crowd shots of that?
The best one, I mean, the best one, to me, the most telling one is, and I don't remember who had it, someone had it on Twitter, where they had the play, but then they blacked out the bottom half of the screen, and they said, we're not going to show you the injury, just look at the Cavaliers bench.
Right.
And it's the first time I had really done that, is, you know, you're staring at the injury, and when he goes down, the reaction from the Cavaliers bench, it's like, someone got murdered. It's a horror movie. There's people turning their back, other people putting their hands in their face. Everyone kind of cringes at once. And so I haven't seen any of the crowd reaction, but I remember seeing the Cavaliers bench in that clip and just being like, yep.
Well, the crowd's the same way. Yeah. And it's you know, just watching their reaction. It's like takes them a second to kind of, they're like, ooh, that looks nasty. And then about 3 seconds later, they finally see his foot.
Yeah.
And it's pointed the opposite direction. And then everybody just like either throws their hands over their face or turns around or, I mean, it's really bizarre to watch.
You ever seen anything like that in person?
No. Can't say that I have.
It's weird the effect that it has on everyone around it. Like your teammates, the only one I've seen that's that bad was in practice. So I guess we didn't have opponents.
Didn't you do that to a guy like in a Wyoming game or something?
Well, no, it wasn't that bad. He broke his leg, but again, I'd like to point out he had it coming. And no, like the bone wasn't sticking out or anything. Just, it's kind of cheap, but he deserved it. But in practice.
Just checking.
Yeah, I kind of feel sort of bad, responsible for it, maybe. In practice, it was in my first or second year, it was during camp, and one of our offensive linemen, we were doing like an inside run drill, and there's a big pile on the ground, and I was on the ground because I suck and I'm unathletic. And I was laying on the ground, and I heard, you know, like two books slapping together. You just heard, and then the scream, and I kind of turned around, and he was bent over on the ground, and his leg was still in place. Like it had been trapped in the big pile. So he had fallen forward, and his foot and leg had not moved. And I remember sitting there looking up at that, and just same thing, like people were getting physically ill. It's just, it's such an awful.
Yeah, can you look at that? Like,
no.
I had a hard time watching the Hayward video.
And he never played again. Like that, it was over. That reminds me. He retired or I guess, you know, got a medical hardship. But I'll never forget that sound. And I'll just never forget the looking up and seeing that up close.
That reminds me, I was on the field. Very big game for something like that. I think I've told you this story before.
Oh, yeah, the pitcher, right?
I was out in center field and a pitcher on our old man baseball team, the Barons. I heard that same like pop sound, very loud, way out in center. Mm. And then the ball, he's pitching and he throws it up like way up to the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what happened there? And then he just tumbles down to the ground, ambulance. He snapped his arm in half. Yeah.
And just like everyone around.
And you could hear it.
The air just comes out of the room and there's a weird, eerie calm that kind of comes over and no one knows what to do.
All right, up next, new Oregon State coach Corey Hall on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:48. Oregon State falls to Colorado last weekend, 36-33, but their best effort of the season, surprising a lot of folks, they now take this weekend off, and then they will host Stanford 1 week from tomorrow. Their interim coach, Corey Hall, joins us now here on The Fan. I kind of want to give you a congratulations, but, I mean, you know, you didn't win, but congratulations, it was a good effort.
I mean, that's kind of bittersweet, but you know what? You know, I'm proud of the boys, and I'll take that, and I appreciate you guys taking notice. It was really about, like I said, it was a team effort, and the boys played hard. It's just, you know, one thing they did do is they played hard for four quarters, and for that, again, that shows progress, a step in the right direction.
Yeah, the second half had been a house of horrors, and after everything they've been through, I don't know if anyone knew what to expect. I mean, I certainly didn't, and wouldn't have shocked me if, you know, if things hadn't gone very well. Did you have a sense of how this was going to go, or were you like the rest of us and just kind of hoping and praying that things turned out well?
My thing is, I knew that they would compete. I knew that the energy and the camaraderie and everything at practice was different, and I expected to win. And every time you go out and you compete and you line up across from your opponent, you expect to win. I knew that the effort would be there, and I was proud of them that they put it together for four quarters. It's just now you start talking about the situations and the little intricate details of, each quarter, each series, and you go back to the drawing board and you practice to make perfect, as close to perfect as you can possibly be, and you continue to establish and develop an identity.
So on defense, we at least had seen signs of progress. On the offensive side of the ball, there hadn't been much. So, you know, you're not an offensive guy. The offense didn't change overnight. What was it that all of a sudden this offense that had been dormant for the last 2 months, what was it that clicked and all of a sudden you guys were able to go out and run the ball and threw it around a little bit and really had an offense identity for the first time this year?
I mean, I think they play for each other and they play tough. You know, like people like to say, well, football is 80%, you know, 80%, mental and 20% physical, or 90% mental and 10% physical. Well, I like to say it's 100% mental. And because, you know, in the off season and throughout the season, you do the physical aspect of it. You train and you build your body up accordingly. It's about collectively coming together and being strong mentally is what makes the great teams great. Right, it's what separates everyone. So I think that these players did a great job of coming together mentally and being stronger than what everyone's seen to date. So, and then sometimes, you know, it takes a certain situation to poke you and wake you up and make you understand where you are and what the situation is. And, you know, that was forgotten, overdone, said, and away with. And, you know, it was a point of either you can fold or you can stand strong together and move forward, and that's what they chose to do.
This is Corey Hall, the Beavers. Did you watch the hype video they put together of your rousing post game speech?
You know what? I picked up my phone. I was I believe it was Danny Moran. I was in my office, and he had said something about it, and I looked at it, and I promise you, the amount of time that I have throughout the day, I looked at it. The sound wasn't on. I saw what looked to be the beginning of it, and I think I saw Andre on it, and then I think I had to go to like my next appointment. So I've yet to be able to sit down and actually watch it. Even before, you know, doing this interview, I was sitting talking with one of the student athletes, just about life. And so I still have yet to watch it, but I promise you I will tonight, because I'll watch it tomorrow when I get to the airport there in Portland.
It's pretty good, man. I mean, it's like it's inspiring, and I loved it. It was obviously directly from the heart, but it's really weird watching yourself. Like, you know, we do radio and we're on TV too, and so
can
yeah.
Can you inspire yourself? Is it possible for you, Corey Hall, to fire up Corey Hall?
I'm always fiery, baby. I'm always fired up. I'm fired up to be on this phone call right now. Fired up to be. So, you know, oh my goodness.
Week two here, and you mentioned, you know, I'm sure you're being pulled in a thousand different directions. Better, worse, different, just your first thoughts now on, I mean, you've only been an assistant for 3 years. You've been a head coach for, you know, 2 weeks. What has this been like, the adjustment period for you?
For me, I would believe it's, again, it's more of a whole, right? Now you go from one specific position to an entire team on a whole. And that's been the difference. And then obviously the time that I've been allotted to actually sit in and game plan, it's hit or miss, it's here and there. And then so the time I get is really on the practice field to interact with those guys, with those players that I need to. So as far as, you know, managing and being a head coach, I don't even look at it as that, because I have a bunch of great assistants around me. It's really just, you know, my role is to really lead these young men, inspire these young men, and make sure they continue to stay engaged, involved, and interested, and teach them, right? Because, I mean, I've seen a lot of football, and I've been around it, and I've played it. I've cut like them. I tell them I've bled like them, and my lungs have burned like theirs. I had to wake up and run just like them, and every different level of this sport imaginable. So my thing is just really to kind of serve still as a mentor to these young athletes and make sure that they continue to have their fire ignited and love the game that they are able to play.
Well, good effort against Colorado. Looking good. Enjoy the bye week, and good luck against Stanford. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Corey Hall of the Beavers. Oh, wait, Tuesday next
week. Yeah, because they play on Thursday.
Yeah, so the interview will be moved up to Tuesday.
Yeah, they don't do an interview the day before a game. No one does. I think that's night and day, his demeanor this week as opposed to, you know, the week he got the job. I mean, I think
he probably showed himself something there.
You see someone settling in and maybe,
I mean, that's got to feel good.
Believing that you can do this.
Yeah. It's got to feel really good for him. It's like, he's like, oh man, this is a crappy situation. And you know, he's handed a turd sandwich by a head coach who literally just up and leaves.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of infighting, there's a lot of problems, stuff leaking out, and he's got to handle all that. Oh, and then, oh, by the way, get ready for a game. And he rallied him. So, yeah, I guarantee that feels good for him.
Yeah, now you get a bye week to, again, get your feet underneath you. And then a huge test in Stanford, who right now is playing as well as anyone in the Pac-12.
He seemed almost giddy.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, happy.
Yeah.
Well, he probably should.
Well, and I think, you know, from listening to people, that's more like Corey Hall. I think when we caught him, I think you got a very nervous, haven't done a lot of interviews, don't really know what this is all going to entail. You know, coach, the last week that we talked to him, we even said it. That's a very tough situation to find yourself in, but I think you're starting to see why they made Corey Hall the interim coach.
Okay, so one other programming note regarding your Beavers. Scott Barnes is the AD, and he will be in charge of, he and the search firm, and then, of course, Ed Ray, the president. But Scott Barnes will be spearheading the search for the new head coach down there, and he is going to be on our show Friday at 3:30. So make sure you tune in.
Yeah.
You have to.
Do
if
it.
You don't,
the cartels will come for you.
That's right.
We know. We'll know what's up.
We're connected. 3:57 coming up next hour. Today in the NFL, a lot to discuss, including Philadelphia fans versus one NFL official. Have you seen this?
No, I don't think I have seen this.
Oh, it's a battle. And we'll talk a little Dodgers-Cubs from last night as well. Coming up on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.